Deciding on what to listen to is hard. Using Xumo to stream music from iHeart 90s radio is easy. Or play iHeart Country or hip-hop beats. Your choice, all for free. Stream easy with Xumo Play. Get live and on-demand entertainment with no logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. This August, have movie night with Anaconda and Seraphim Falls starring Liam Neeson and Pierce Brosnan, streaming free on Xumo Play. Go to play.xumo.com now. Life is hard. Xumo is easy.
Imagine being surrounded by a powerful community of 12,000 women who look like you. That's the Sisters in Sales membership. Join us September 19th to 21st at the Dugal Greenhouse in Brooklyn, New York for the largest sales conference in the world for women of color. Gain the skills, connections, and confidence to take your career to the next level. Don't miss this chance. Register now at sistersinsales.com/summit. Your community is here, and we're lifting each other up.
Everybody, this is the KFK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Are you sick of the hot weather? I think it was like 117 in Redding yesterday. But that doesn't matter, because if you were anywhere where it was 107 or 8, you didn't care. You just didn't want to be in it. And I talked, you know, yesterday afternoon when I do all my pre-recorded stuff, I just felt so bad for some of these people. I mean, they grind it out. I talked to Big Nate, Nate's Guide Service, over at Barry S. said, well, he's really catching some impressive fish. You're going to love that report. They fish till 2 o'clock. I mean, it's just brutal. But, you know, you get a boat with a little cover. Sometimes the cover gets in the way of fishing. You don't want it. If you troll fast, you always have a breeze. You can talk and talk. It's always a few degrees cooler on the water. I mean, it's hard to believe it gets 117 on the water like it did at Redding. But anyway, you kind of just do it if you're going to catch some fish. Best thing to do, though, a lot of people, they just get out and then they quit by 10 or 11 in the morning when it's only 95. It's crazy weather, crazy weather. There's been several of these episodes where we've had 10 days of 100-degree weather, and, you know, throughout my lifetime. And, of course, all the other times we didn't talk about climate change, but we talk about climate change this time, but... You know, one thing they forget, every summer is hot. It's just that simple. Every summer, it's hot. So you're just going to have to put up with it. And of course, you don't have to if you go to the coast or way up high in the mountains. You get some of the mid-elevation areas that are like, say, 4,000 feet. You're pushing 100 degrees at the hottest of days. That's hot for that elevation. That really is. So once you get the top off that, though, that immediately drops down into the, you know, the low to mid-90s. That's tolerable as a high degree. So we're on our way out of that, I hope for permanently this summer. But anyway, it's surprising how much good fishing is going on. And once again, we have to start with the halibut fishing and stripers in San Francisco Bay and outside for halibut on both the North and the South Bar, just outside the Golden Gate Bridge. Andy Giuliano, who does not overstate things, he says, I don't want to say epic, but... Yesterday, this, I think he called me, he texted me Wednesday, he says, yesterday, nobody can remember the halibut fishing ever being better than this. Now that is a statement and a half right there. So I'm anxious to talk to Andy this morning. It's just, I asked him, you feel guilty? Just because he's so busy and finally make a decent living without the salmon season. Of course, it doesn't do too much for the commercial salmon fishermen. But anyway, there was some pretty positive stuff there. Talked to Chris Arcaleo down in Monterey. It's just solid down there. You know, when they got rid of the deep water in Monterey, they got rid of the best of the best, because they catch lingcod down to 300 feet. If they catch them deeper than 300 feet. But remember, last year we had to fish at least 300 feet deep. You had to be in that depth of water when you were fishing. You didn't have to. You could fish 100 feet deep. And a lot of times the fish were suspended right there in the middle somewhere, and you could see them on your sonar, and you could fish for them. But you had to be in water that was at least 300 feet deep. And that was that's the big fish area for Monterey. And so, you get some nice fish, good quality rockfish down there. And of course, you always have the chance of the offshore fish. And of course, there's always the whale watching. But while everybody else seems to do okay, Monterey misses that deep water fishing more than anybody. I talked to Kenny Priest. Up on the North Coast, you'll like this, because what we're talking about, not only what's going on there with the Pacific halibut and the difference, the different way they're fishing, they've evolved in the fishing form that I was not aware of, which includes anchoring in 300 feet of water. I just can't imagine. But anyway, that's what they're doing. And also some albacore in close in certain places, and more albacore earlier in the week out of Fort Bragg. But we're going to talk about, and what we're going to be doing pretty much as we go along now, is give you a salmon report from various ports in Oregon and also along the Columbia River. And I even made a chart yesterday on how far it is to the closest place in Oregon, which would be to Brookings, you know, which is right above the Smith River in northwestern California. The Brookings, of course, is where the Chetco come in. That has nothing to do with the fishing. These are like Klamath fish or Sacramento fish, and you go out and charter boats in the ocean to get them. Clear up to the Columbia River, and the shortest distance and the longest distance is about an hour and 45 minutes difference in driving time. And then you have the question, if you want to go straight up I-5 to the Portland area, an easy drive, or you want to cut over on the coast and go through the mountains. So there's your choice. You can save an hour and a half, or you can just go straight through. So anyway, we've been talking to Clancy Holt up north and Kurt Porter Carrera about the mouth of the Rogue River. And now we're going to include the rest of them, because people are going to want to go salmon fishing. And as we know, once again this year, we can't go salmon fishing in California. Which reminds me, this week, 2 days ago, the sturgeon fishing closed in California. More on that later. Anyway, it is closed right now, so don't go sturgeon fishing. Okay, Rob Reimer spent a couple of days up at Bullard's Bar. We'll get the fish up there. You know, they're not the biggest fish, but he swears they're just as healthy, meaning fat and fighting and everything, as any other fish in the state, just smaller, but they're really, really healthy. And people like that. When you can get 13-inch really fat kokanee, that's kind of fun stuff. You use real light tackle for that. Mark Wilson actually went down Delta this week, did not have a very good day, but he's going to tell us about it anyway because he went there. Don Paganelli texted me last, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. He took one person out that wanted, I just want to go out by myself and go surface plugging for black bass or for bass. They caught 9 bass on the surface, and the biggest was 6 pounds. I mean, that is a, that when you're throwing surface plugs for bass, that is a career day right there. That's so much fun. I'm so jealous. So anyway, Kyle Wise, of course, today is the Kokanee Derby down at Don Pedro. Kyle Wise has just been slamming them down there, and he doesn't have any customers, but he and his wife and his deckhand and his deckhand's wife are going to fish it today, and they're going to check in with us at 7:30 to see how they're doing down there. And then Ed Dillard is going to check with us up at Davis Lake. Limit every single day at Davis Lake, only it's different than what Ed usually does. He's bait fishing. Out in a boat, he's bait fishing, catching beautiful fish. So that's good. We're going to paint a picture. Jim Johnston, who used to own Sierra Streamside Resort and loves the North Yuba between Downeyville and Sierra City, he got out just for a couple hours in the afternoon. We'll paint the picture of being on a Yuba, catching a bunch of small native rainbows. I mean, not tiny, but, 10 inches, 11 inches, maybe up to 12 inches. That's fun on a real light rod. You just can't hardly beat it. Ebbets Pass Sporting Goods, Bill Reynolds in Arnold talking about everything from the Kenny Lakes up on the summit of Ebbets Pass to Lake Alpine, a great fishery and a cool place to go at 7,000 feet. Down to the river, the Stanislaus River, which has just now come into shape from the runoff, offering good fishing. Spicer Reservoir, good fishing there again. We talked to Brad at Beaver Sporting Goods, catching fish up at Saddlebag Lake and Ellery and Tioga Lakes, and also on Lee Vining Creek and over at Lundy Lake. As I mentioned, Nate Kelch yesterday, you know, he goes out and they fish for trout and salmon, but the people want to target kokanee, knowing the most they're going to catch is maybe on the average two to four kokanee. Well, he got one beautiful kokanee that weighed like 2.5 pounds. It wasn't quite 18 inches. He sent me a picture. That's just about the healthiest looking kokanee you've ever seen. Matt Mitchell was up on the Fall River, and they got a bunch of fish. Most were small, but they still got four fish in that 18 to 22 inch range. And then Richard Thornton, Anchor Charters, gives us a report on the rock fishing at Fort Bragg and a little bit on the albacore. So all that and more coming up in the next 2 hours and 45 minutes on the KFBK Outdoor Show. Thanks for being here. Well, to Mr. Understatement himself, Andy Giuliano joins us now. And as I say again, and I'm quoting you, this is the text he sent me. Incredible potluck fishing again today, Bob. I'm hesitant to say historic, but the halibut fishing today was as good as it's ever been. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I'm the master of overproducing and undercommitting.
Good. It all balances out at the end of the three-hour program, you know?
Yes, I'm sure it does, yes.
But anyway...
So that was Wednesday, and that was, I mean, it's still good. It dipped off a little bit Thursday, and it did bounce back yesterday. Just about everybody, by the way, yesterday had full limits of halibut, full limits of striped bass. So certainly, you know, still exceptionally good fishing, and the quality of the halibut is, you know, outstanding. But that Wednesday fishing, that first shot of fish in the morning, you had asked me about the morning tide, if those were coming around. And those guys that were out there Wednesday morning, you know, encountered really like some of the best fishing, you know, this area has seen in a long time. And I mean, I'm going back like, you know, way back, Jim Smith, Art Roby, you know, days like that. And even somebody said, I remember fishing with Art Roby's dad. You know, to him when he remembers fishing like that. So that's just what I was trying to put the context in that, you know, it's tough in the text messages.
Wow.
But I mean, it really, you know, really brought back some memories.
Is that the one there was a party boat with 21 or 22 people that had their limits, 42 or 44 halibut by 8:15?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, the new Huck Finn.
Yeah, okay.
They were all done. They were back at the dock. He had called me because we were involved with the fish processing down there. And he had called me at 11 o'clock, you know, saying that we're done with the halibut and we're done with the bass. And then they made a drift just to take up some time at Angel Island. They hooked up like 8 or 10 bass all, you know, simultaneously too. So
yeah.
It's been that kind of a stretch where there's a lot of areas, I would say Central Bay and then out on the coast too. That's the thing that really opened up the last week or so was this coastal fishing, you know, on both the North Bar, South Bar, and up and down the coast there where the fishing really, really took off.
Yeah, well, you have to have a decent ocean to fish both those bars out there if you're going to drift them for halibut.
Yep, and that was it. That was the one thing that maybe took the scores down a touch on Thursday is the swell came up a little bit. And, you know, I mean, the fish, as you know, they don't bite, you know, historically every day like that. But that did take a little edge off it for Thursday. But then yesterday, the weather laid back down, and the guys had great fishing out on the coast. And, I mean, you can just about pick any of the likely spots inside the bay from the Berkeley Flats to, you know, Central Bay, all the, you know, likely spots, Angel Island, Alcatraz, Christie's Field, all that. And then either the North or South Bars out there, the fishing's been, you know, really, really good, and we got a good supply of bait here too. So it's time to go.
Well, you didn't mention one area that can be very, very good on that incoming tide, and that's Seal Rocks.
Yeah, so that on that south side there, that was a little plagued by some swell, you know, and the currents there
okay.
When you were there, but still. Still very good. I know the guys got some fish in there yesterday that were able to handle the tide and the weather in there. But yeah, I think you can. I mean, for a private boater, or you know, you can pick a spot there and kind of work it out. And I think you know, there's plenty of rockfish that are mixed in. A lot of the boats that even had the halibut and the bass, they also had some nice collection of rockfish and lingcod too. There, so.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
Yeah. So really good fishing. We're, you know, the fish processing has really worked out great for the customers walking off the boats. And so in terms of taking really good care of your fish and preserving it and, you know.
Andy, even though it's the crew that does all the work, you spend a day out fishing and, you know, you're catching fish, you're doing this. I mean, even fishermen are busy doing stuff and plus you're out in a boat and you're standing up the whole time. By the time you get back, you're a little tired, and to have all that service being done there as an optional, meaning not only fillet it up, but vacuum seal them, I mean, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's a real nice final on the back end there. And you can go home and it's all done. You guys travel a couple hours. We got guys from all up and down the valley there. Even guys locally that have machines, you know, sealing meals and things like that. It takes a couple minutes. You spin it around and they're all done. So that's really gone over well. It was overdue, quite frankly. Somebody in the Bay Area needed to do that. And, and we were happy to be part of that.
Yeah. Lingcod. I just, for the fun of it, yesterday asked people up and down the coast with this 120 feet limit. And what really started this was Chris Arcaleo down in Monterey. I remember, you know, for when it was 120 feet, we'd go out and we weren't catching any lingcod. We'd fish 70, 80 feet and everything. All of a sudden, we'd move out past 100 feet, and boom, we'd start getting lingcod, just that little bit. And I asked Chris, is there a difference between 120 and, let's say, what if you had 150? Would that make a difference? He says, nah, that wouldn't make that much difference because, you know, they move in and out a little bit, but it's, you know, it's going to be a good lingcod fishing one day, then nothing the next. And of course, that can be that way anyway. But it seems like north of there, there's no problem getting the larger lingcod in the shallow water under certain conditions. What are those conditions?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the groundswell. If you start getting a groundswell, the fish tend to get a little tougher to hook. Tougher to fish, you know, when the boat's going up or down, your bait or your live bait or jig or whatever is not going to look, you know, attractive to any fish, whether it's a rock cod or a link cod or anything. So I would say the weather is your predominant factor. And I think that 120 feet, there are two parts to that. One is, I think, as you go up and down the coast, that's the tough thing from a management standpoint, by the way, is that every area is so unique. The difference between Bodega Bay, Half Moon Bay, and San Francisco, you know, totally different real estate and where you can fish and where you can't fish. So the 120 feet is more restrictive or more punitive in certain areas than others. And then the big question is, you're putting a lot of pressure on a small strip of, you know, a fishing area, and over time, do we start to over-harvest in that area? That's the thing for the guys that are really in this thing for a long
time. Yeah, yeah.
Are concerned about is that we're putting too much pressure on a small area, and we've proven that in the past when you shove everybody into small areas, particularly rock fishing, you know, you're gonna reduce the population.
Yeah, in those areas. I can think of several of those times, and it just takes me back. Why don't they learn from their mistakes? You just can't, especially on top of no salmon season, and then you limit to that 120 feet. I mean, something's got to give, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, too, because the original draft of that line, that 120-foot line, did include a big area out on the Fairlawns. And you'd say, well, maybe it doesn't matter, maybe it does. But the one thing it would have done is it would have dispersed and diversified the effort. And I think that would have been a big help to do that. But they sent that to us in a draft, and then we made some adjustments, and then they said, no, we're not going to do that. So I think that would have helped out, particularly for our area, split the coast from the islands, and it would have given some break on that coastal area.
Yeah. You know, I don't ever recall anybody hearing there was a shortage of rockfish around the Farallon Islands.
No. No, not particularly hook and line wise. These guys, you know, 30 miles off the coast of, you know, big ocean, a lot of weather, and you're just not going to do major harm with hook and line fishery, particularly when you can only take a couple lingcod, 10 rockfish. So it's just not going to happen, in spite of the people up in Sacramento thinking different.
Yeah, well, I mean, none of those people have much credibility anymore, and this is one of the reasons why. I mean, they close.
I don't think they're. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, they're closing an area. There is no reason to close it. So, anyway, we're used to that. Anyway, what's the upcoming week look like tides wise for halibut?
So the tides get a little bigger, so I'd expect us to see a little more striped bass. But you know, we've got some really fabulous weather the first part of the week there, so that'll allow the guys to get down the coast. I think you'll see more fishing out on the coast here first part of the week.
Okay. Andy, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Absolutely, Bob. Catch you later.
Bye-bye. Andy Giuliano, Fish Emeryville, area code 510-652-3403. Well, Chris Arcaleo and I, you know, in our conversations over the years, I'll tell you one thing. That guy, he knows more than most people forgot about stuff. And he it's no bones about it. He doesn't like this 120 feet maximum depth we can fish. Now, we can't fish out more than 120 feet. Nobody in the fishing industry thinks it's a good law. Nobody thinks there was enough science presented to make that necessary. It's just a mess. But it's California. We're used to being in a mess in California. And that includes the fishermen. We kind of got into a conversation about lingcod and depth and everything, and he was, you know, he didn't think it's that big a deal. I mean, he doesn't think there's a difference between 120 and 150 because they're so used to fishing that deeper water, getting big lingcod. So anyway, I talked to Chris about that. and the fishing yesterday. Chris, before we talk about anything, because they got some albacore up north and one bluefin, this is up Eureka and Trinidad, you seen any albacore around your place?
No. I haven't heard of anyone catching one.
It just depends on where that current is taking them when it goes by you, right? I mean, the current goes by. It could be bulging out in the ocean far away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it just that current left us about 10 years ago and went north, and it hasn't come back.
Yeah, strange, strange. However, you still get your share of tuna, other kinds of tuna. Any bluefins showing up?
I haven't seen any bluefin either. And, you know, we had them all last year, all the whole year. They'd come and they'd go and they'd come and they'd go, but we haven't seen any here in the last couple of months.
Okay. That takes care of that. How's the rock fishing holding up?
Oh, it's good. It's real good. You know, they're inshore fish, blues, yellows. We had quite a few vermilions yesterday. Yeah. But it's good. There's a lot of fish.
I'm noticing in other ports up and down the state that the lingcod fishing, 1 week I call, such and such a boat got 18, another got 12. Another week we got two, we didn't get any. Does that jump around for you down there as well, with the lingcod?
It does. If we were fishing in deeper water, you would have big changes, you know, depending upon the group. But in shallow water, it doesn't change too much. Some days we'll get 8 or 10, you know, depending on what day, and the next day we'll get 1 or 2 or nothing. You know, it's just, it does change, though.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. It just, you seem that 120 feet is almost like right on the edge. You almost think, and I don't mean to just be saying this, but if you could have 150, I think that might make a difference in the lingcod fishing, don't you?
I don't think so. Now most of our lingcod, especially in the wintertime, they're in fairly deep water, 300 foot, 350. Yeah. That's where we like to catch them, you know. I don't think that 150 from 120 would make any difference.
Okay. Well, water temperature has a lot to play. Your waters are a little warmer than those up north, so...
We are?
I think so, yeah.
Well, it very well could be. And the water's been cold as heck. I don't know what it's been the last few days. I haven't really checked it, but...
Well, what are you talking about when you say
well,
cold?
Well, we were having it like 50.
Oh, that's cold.
Yeah.
That's cold.
Yeah. I think that they
well,
told
now
me
you,
that.
Well, now you shot all my theories right out the window.
Well, the water temperature, we've been getting it up to 56 or 55, dependent upon, and we're looking for warmer water. The fish don't really like to bite good in that real cold water.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to have it one way. Cold water down south, and you don't have any tuna. And up north, they got warm water way out, and they got the fish. So there you have it. By the way, that Japanese current pushed those fish into, I mean, within 20 miles, I think, 15 or 20 miles in one spot for a day or two.
Oh, yeah.
So it can change all the... It changes all the time.
It does. We used to have them 20 miles every year. Did you look at... There was a thing on the fishing game today. They were holding the salmon in the river. And it was 88 pounds.
It was what?
88 pounds. Dead. Humongous fish. It was 88
really?
Pounds. They said when it was alive, it would have probably been a 100-pound salmon. They caught it, you know, Sacramento, way up to 200 miles or something, 300 miles up the river. But it you got to take a look at it. It's on the website someplace on that Fish and Game website, and
it's on our Fish and Wildlife website.
You know something? I didn't pull the website up, but my guy pulled it up.
Okay.
It's on there, and I mean it. Yeah. It's ugly, but it is a monster.
How's the whale, Watson?
Oh, it's good. There's a lot of humpback whales. Lots. Yeah, a lot of bait. It appears as though there's a lot of salmon. Every now and then we're seeing a sea lion catch one all on their own, which isn't normal. And
yeah.
Also we're hooking a few while we're fishing rock cut. And the anchovy boats have been catching some, in which they don't catch many. You know, it's just you're fishing anchovies on 40, 50 fathoms of water. Usually those salmon know how to get out of the net, but they've been catching some and have to release them, but they're catching them.
That's Chris Arcaleo. That bodes well for next year if we get a salmon season next year. Chris's number to book a trip or a whale watching trip, 831-375-5951. That's salmon. Sent me a picture of that and was a Department of Fish and Wildlife personnel. It wasn't on the Department of Fish and Wildlife's website. I thought that would have been a little unusual. I couldn't find it there, so it looked like an older picture. I think it was on somebody else's blog or fishing report or something. And it was a huge salmon. It was ugly. Of course, it was dead, near the end of its life. But it was in Battle Creek. Now, Battle Creek's got about 2 inches of water going on right now, so I don't think it was a recent picture, so I don't know when it was taken. If I find out, I'll let you know. You know, it's kind of strange. The weather off the coast in California, and you go down to Chris Arcaleo, their boats almost always go out. You know, it's just that portion of the ocean. Maybe it's that latitude that... you know, it's a little further south, it's a little warmer, it's whatever it is. Those boats almost always go out. Then you move up to the Bay Area, and, you know, getting out at the Golden Gate Bridge is no easy thing when there's like an outgoing tide and a northwest swell. You know, it's a tough thing. And then you got to get by that north bar. Sometimes you got to go way out 10 miles or more and then go back, toward the northeast to get back to shore because you don't want to go over that bar and all the difficult water. And so, but still we have the bay. And if you do get out, you can get around the corner. If the weather comes up, you can pop back in. Now you get up. Bodega Bay. It's like a different world. It's been so windy up there this year from that point north. And now you've had some wonderful days over at Bodega Bay and nobody's going fishing there. I talked to Chris Lawrenson last night. I says, is anybody fishing? He says, there might be a couple of boats, boat traders in the parking lot. Is the weather okay? Yeah, the weather's pretty good. So they're so used to not going to Bodega Bay, even though when the weather gets good, they're still not going to Bodega Bay. So it's kind of a strange thing, you know. And of course, if there was salmon out there, they'd be going. You move up north, Fort Bragg, they have an even worse year, but now they're... The weather's changing, but they still have windy days. You know, the last several days have been windy. They couldn't get out. They got out Sunday and Monday. It was good enough. They could go out, and they got some albacore Sunday and Monday. And so, and then you get up to Eureka. And now you want to fish in 300 feet of water for halibut, Pacific halibut. You better have some nice weather to do that. Anyway, you can see how volatile it can be and how different it is. But anyway, I'll talk a little bit about that with Kenny Priest and a whole lot of other things. Listen, Kenny, everything depends on the winds up out of Eureka up to Crescent City. Have you had a break?
We have. We actually had a break. And you're right, it all depends on the wind. And actually, last Friday, we got a break a week ago now. We got a break for about 3 or 4 days, which is, you know, a pretty good spell for us. We haven't been able to put very many days on the water consecutively. But it finally happened, and things really turned on up here.
It looked like there was definitely a huge regional weather change taking place that is going to make a little difference. You're always going to get your windy days. You're going to have a heck of a lot more fishing days, I think. How's the Pacific halibut fishing doing?
The Pacific halibut fishing is doing well. You know, again, not a whole lot of days on the water since May, but it seems to have picked up recently. You know, the boats are going out there. They'll catch limits one day, which is one per person. The next day they'll go out there and they'll catch three or four for their five or six people. So, you know, it's pretty decent. I'd say it's good fishing. And it actually picked up in Trinidad too. They were struggling in the beginning, and it really started to get better there as well.
Okay, that's good news. That's good. Now, how deep a water?
They're anywhere from 250 to 300 out of Eureka. Same with Trinidad. Out of Eureka, you know, they pretty much just go straight out, straight west.
Now, is the bait? I know they use so many different things for bait, but is herring still the preferred bait?
I think most of the guys use that, you know, since salmon is we don't know what those are anymore up here. That, you know, they used to use salmon bellies, but I think it's mostly herring now is probably the bait of choice. And some guys use squid too, and they catch fish.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of funny because for Pacific halibut, what you're doing, of course, you can troll for them. You can even cast jigs, but 99% of people drift bait, either dead or live bait. And, you know, you can't exactly do that kind of fishing out in deep water, but you got to be moving along the bottom. So when you say squid, here's a big hunk of meat, they're going to come up and grab that as well, huh?
Well, they're fishing right on the bottom. So, you know, and the halibut fishing has changed the last couple of years. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to that, but these big boats now are all anchoring. So they're anchoring out there in 260 feet of water, 300 feet of water, and letting the fish come to them with all that.
I didn't know that.
That's what all the charters are doing. You know, it happened a couple of years ago where somebody did it, and they were successful. And all of a sudden, everybody's doing it. And it's a really good technique because, you know, A, you want the fish will come to you, and you can keep your bait right there, and you don't have to worry about fast currents and, you know, using, you know, different types of weight. And so it takes some of that element out of there, and it keeps you right there and, you know, maybe a chum bag and just bring the fish to you.
Well, you know, it's almost like those big Pacific are almost scavengers as opposed to looking for live bait.
Well, they'll eat just about anything, right? I mean, you put something in front of them that smells good. I don't think it matters what it is. They're gonna take a bite out of it.
Yeah. Okay. Any big ones?
You know, I saw one about 74 pounds.
Okay.
Was the biggest one that I saw this last week. So not bad.
That's a good one for California waters, I think, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, there's other exciting news there, not to bypass the rockfish, but a little over a week ago, we got some albacore straight out of Fort Bragg, 50 miles. Now I hear they're in a little closer, and they're right out of Eureka.
Yeah. So it all happened last Friday. So I know last Friday. So the wind calmed down, the warm water, you know, I don't know if it was sitting out there or if it moved in, but, you know, Fort Bragg kind of got the show started there at 50 miles, like you said, and they did. It was decent the first day. And I would say out of Eureka, it was decent. But I think I heard just one or two boats went out of Eureka, and basically they were on a scouting mission. And they went south off the Cape Mendocino, and one of the boats, the guy was by himself, landed 9 in just a couple hours of fishing. So, and I believe that the Shelter Cove boats did well that Friday as well. So, in turn, what does that do when somebody comes back to port with tuna? Everybody was in on it on Saturday out of Eureka. And it was good fishing. I mean, it was really good. Saturday was one of those days where it was so calm that, you know, and the tuna water was so close that people were going out catching halibut, a limit of halibut, and just going a little way south and catching tuna. That doesn't happen very often.
Wow. Well, so, here we go. I mean, the pattern has started. All the boat ramps are going to be crowded for every nice day we have for the next month and a half.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, you know, that's a shot in the arm we needed, right? I mean, we no salmon, and you can get tired of going for halibut and rockfish, and it's like, oh, you know, the tuna are here, so that's good. That gives us a light of hope.
Yep, and it changes almost every day, so it's fun to keep track of it as well.
It does, and you can't go out every day. So, you know, boats went here out of here on Tuesday, the last, you know, story about that. So people went back out on Sunday, got beat up, the ocean was rough, very few fish caught, one bluefin out of Eureka. So the next day, people didn't really want to go after getting beat up, so most people went halibut fishing on Monday. And then Tuesday, a small fleet went out there for halibut, and then one guy said, well, there's some good water that's just outside of Eureka. I'll go try it. And this guy went out there with a couple of people in his boat, and I think he had 25 in about 2 hours of fishing. And the fish bit till left just for a couple hours, and it shut off, and he was the only boat out there 16 miles straight out of Eureka.
Unbelievable. Oh, well. Hey, real quick before we go, because this is going to be an ongoing story, just take a minute. Closest place we can fish for salmon to California people is Brookings, Oregon. Now, of course, the Chetco River comes in, but they don't fish the river or the edge. They fish out in the ocean. They're mostly probably Klamath River fish or a lot of those, and then Sacramento fish, river fish coming down. How's that going right now?
You know, the salmon fishing out of Brookings, I would classify it as decent. Yeah, there's some hatchery coho around, so the boats who are targeting them, and they had wind just like we did, so they haven't been able to get offshore very much as well. But catching some hatchery coho, and they are getting bigger. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about how small they were, but now they're getting up there in size. So you know, they're 25, 26 inches, some bigger. But the fishing has been decent, and I've seen a couple kings the last couple days as well. So that's finally starting to pick up.
That's Kenny Priest. He writes about this every Thursday, fishingthenorthcoast.com. His number for any questions you may have, he's a guide, but he doesn't guide this time of year, 707-496-8671. Now listen, every port in Oregon, you know, they fish some ports. It's hard for them to get out in the ocean because of the bar, so they fish the river, the estuary. Others, they go out in the ocean like Brookings. But like from Sacramento to Brookings is 6 hours and 58, so 7 hours, okay? And then you go up to the Umpqua at Reedsport. That's 7 hours and 20 minutes. Up on the Rogue River, where they're catching salmon already, that's only 7.5 hours, and the Columbia is 8 hours and 42, where they're going to be catching salmon on August 1st. So we'll keep you apprised of where you can catch salmon in this state, because we can't fish for it here. After the break, Bullard's Bar, Kokanee.
Deciding on what to listen to is hard. Using Xumo to stream music from iHeart90's radio is easy. Or play iHeart Country or hip-hop beats. Your choice, all for free. Stream easy with Xumo Play. Get live and on-demand entertainment with no logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. This August, have movie night with Anaconda and Seraphim Falls starring Liam Neeson and Pierce Brosnan, streaming free on Xumo Play. Go to play.xumo.com now. Life is hard. Xumo is easy.
Imagine being surrounded by a powerful community of 12,000 women who look like you. That's the Sisters in Sales membership. Join us September 19th to 21st at the Dugal Greenhouse in Brooklyn, New York for the largest sales conference in the world for women of color. Gain the skills, connections, and confidence to take your career to the next level. Don't miss this chance. Register now at sistersinsales.com/summit. Your community is here, and we're lifting each other up.